Let us pray. Father, give us ears to hear tonight what the Holy Spirit himself would speak to his church. Give us hearts and minds that they might be receptive to that very word as seed implanted in fertile soil. Not rocky, not thorny, but fertile soil. Such wise that that word might take deep root and bear much fruit. To your glory and our blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so blessed to be here tonight, and I thank you for being here on a Thursday. I would have been glad to be here on a Friday, but I've learned a long time ago never to come here and compete with a Jaguar home game. Hello.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it is what it is, right? So I'm very, I'm not dumb, you know, I figured that out. But thank you so much for coming out and blessing and honoring us tonight. It's a good night. And God is always good. And he is at work in this place.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture I want to begin with is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell upon the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? You know, there's something refreshing about starting something new or starting things anew. For example, a new year brings a fresh sense of promise. Isn't that true? Especially for those who make New Year's resolutions, like to lose weight. That's not me. Or to eat better. Or to pray more. Now, it may not last, but it starts out with a sense of promise. Amen? It's a new beginning. Or a new job can bring a new sense of expectation, especially if it includes a promotion to a new sense of responsibility, authority, and salary. Or a new season can bring a new sense of hope that things are going to be better this year, especially if things weren't so good last year, like with the Dolphins or the Jaguars. Hey, I'm there. I get it. So tonight, of course, we celebrate the beginning of a new season, okay, in the Spirit. It's a new season for the Church of the Messiah. It's a new season for the lookers. They don't know what it's about yet, but they will. And it's a new season for the Pacingers. It's a new season with new opportunities in the kingdom and in the hand of God. To the Pacingers, sorry, I love these people. And I want to express our heartfelt gratitude for a job well done. Amen. Hallelujah. I know you had a big service Sunday, but I'm the bishop. So I get to have my time to honor them because I can't be here Saturday for their surprise lunch. For their surprise luncheon. But I know it'll be a great celebration. And you're going to honor them for their many years of faithful service in this place. And that's a good thing. Amen. And that's why, in a sense, I must tell you tonight is, for me personally, somewhat bittersweet. However, while this is a transition for them, it's not a departure from us. Because they too, even though they're moving into a new season with new opportunities, and God blesses every season of our lives. That's the good thing. They're still going to be amongst us at the Church of the Resurrection and the Diocese of Florida. And I give God thanks for that. Thus, for them, it's our prayer tonight that this new season will be a time of great promise and joy and hope in God. God's not done with them yet. You believe that? God has a plan and a purpose for them all the days of their life. And I'm just excited for what God's going to do in their life at such a time as this. So I want them to come up front. There are some benefits to wearing a purple shirt. Not many, but there are a few. I did.
Yeah.
Turn around this way. I want to read a letter of institution. In the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity, amen. To all the faithful in Christ Jesus throughout the world, greetings. Be it known unto you by these presents that the venerable David F. Pasinger, don't ask what F means. I don't know. You do. Have worked together with his bishop as a pastor and teacher, and shared in the councils of the church, has been selected in accordance with the canons of the International Communion of the Charismatic Episcopal Church to serve God as Rector Emeritus of the Church of the Messiah, Jacksonville, Florida. This letter is a sign that he is authorized to exercise this ministry, accepting its privileges and responsibilities as Rector Emeritus of this church in communion with his bishop. Having served as the rector of the Church of the Messiah and committed himself to the faithful service of these people, we recognize him for his contributions to this diocese and the people of this church. Signed and attested in the city of Jacksonville in the 27th day of August, in the year of our Lord, 2015, the feast of St. Serarius of Arles, bishop, in the ninth year of my episcopate, I herefore affix my hand and seal, the Most Reverend David Simpson, bishop of the Diocese of Florida. Father, I'm not done with you yet. And though we don't have a position of rector's wife emeritus, we do want to honor you also as his helpmeet and all the work you've done to support him and this parish and your faithful, steadfast service to the Diocese of Florida. Amen. Okay. Grandma and Grandpa. To the lookers, we want to express our heartfelt appreciation to God that he has raised them up at such a time as this and prepared them to take their place in this church and in the ministry to which God has called them. Amen?
Amen.
In the scriptures, St. Paul likens our life in Christ, the Christian life, to that of a race. And that race, he says, has a starting point and an ending point. Or to put it another way, a starting line and a finishing line. Well, at least in this world. Hopefully, it continues in the world to come. But our ministry in the kingdom is more like a relay race. For though we do indeed run our portion of the race from beginning to end, the race is never concluded when we're done running our portion. Rather, we pass on the baton to the next generation who's going to run their leg of the race after us. Amen? That's how God's kingdom works. So on this night, as regards the leadership of this parish, the baton is being passed to you. But never forget, the day will come, and you'll be surprised how quickly, when you will pass it on to your successors, unless Jesus happens to come back before then. Amen. For in the end, it's not our ministry. It's the ministry of Christ. And we're given the privilege of sharing in some measure in his ministry. Amen? Amen. And to those members here of the Church of the Messiah, a word of encouragement to you. I pray and hope that you will continue to be faithful in this new season, as you have been faithful in the season past under this new leadership. For while indeed this is a new beginning, you know well it's not completely new. Much has come before, and much will come after. Again, each of us does have his own part to play in God's plans and purposes, but we must never, ever, ever forget that in the end, these are God's plans and purposes, and his alone. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 3:5, it says, "What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? What is David? What is Scott?" Oh, no, that's not true, is it? I'm making that up. But it's a living Bible. It changes every day. But actually, it's true. Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Never forget that the kingdom of God and this church is not man-centered. Are you hearing me tonight? It's Christ-centered. This is his church and his ministry. So listen to me very carefully. We are not in competition with each other building our kingdom. But in cooperation with each other, we're building the kingdom of God in this place. Amen. I'm talking to you as your bishop. I want you to hear me very carefully. Father Looker will do this in the manner to which God has anointed and called him, as Father Pasinger has done in the manner and anointing to which God has called him. It is not disloyal for you to support the one and the other. And it's not disloyal for you to support the other and the one. You should support each one in his own season. Are you listening to me? That's very important. And as you support each in their turn, you're supporting the work of God in this place. That's the word of the Lord. Don't ever think that by supporting his successor, you're being disloyal to Father David. Amen? Amen? In light of all this, I want to offer you three words of encouragement. All of us need these words of encouragement from time to time, but since it's Father Looker's night, I'm offering them to him particularly. As he takes his place and accept upon himself the mantle of the responsibility of the leadership of Church and Messiah. The first word is this, Father: proclaim the truth. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man who went in and showed a house? Oh, sorry. It's that living Bible thing again. I couldn't resist. I went to Virginia, so it's like. Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what is preached to save those who believe. Continuing in verse 25, for the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Let me tell you, we live in a season, a generation, wherein if we truly proclaim the truth of God's word, we run the risk of offending people and losing members for our churches. It's true. I've done it. If we preach against abortion, we risk offending those who are pro-abortion. If we preach about sexual purity, we run the risk of offending the sexually impure. If we preach about gossip, we might offend the gossipers. If we preach the truth about greed, we might offend the greedy. When does it stop? If we offend the gluttonous or the lustful, you get my point. If we back off from preaching the truth because we're afraid we're going to offend somebody, pretty soon we won't talk about sin at all. Because we're going to offend the sinners. Hello? The only thing we'll have left to preach is a prosperity gospel. Oops. Here's the deal. We must resist the temptation to compromise the truth in order to be successful. You think that's easy to say? I promise you, it will be hard for him to do. When you're in charge, it can be very tempting to do whatever it takes to grow your church. You need to support him when he proclaims God's truth. No matter what. Because let me tell you, the world will consider the gospel foolishness and folly. They have since the days of Jesus. But we know the truth, don't we? It's the wisdom of God. Yes. We must not exchange God's wisdom for man's foolishness. Whether it's ancient foolishness, modern foolishness, or postmodern foolishness, I don't even know what that foolishness is. How can you be postmodern? Now, of course, I understand our method and our manner may well change. And in some measure, let me tell you, a change in leadership will produce a change in methods and manners. But the message remains the same. It's a message of hope, salvation, healing, forgiveness, blessing. It's the message of Christ. And it's the foundation of this church. It's the foundation of our ministry and our mission. So, Father, Church of the Messiah, never shy away from proclaiming the truth. Amen? Amen. Second word, serve the people. Matthew 20:25 says, Jesus called them all together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, you know this verse, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I don't know Latin worth a hoot, but I'm going to give it a shot. Servus servorum Dei. Aren't you impressed? The translated phrase is servant of the servants of God. It is one of the titles the Roman pontiff, the Pope, claims for himself. And I would submit to you that that may well be the most important title he holds. Because it's a reminder to him, and it's a reminder to us, that whatever rank and whatever title we might have in the kingdom of God, we serve the one who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, and that's whom we follow. So leadership in his kingdom is not a matter of lordship, it's a matter of servanthood, which makes, personally, me rather shocked to see how easily some Christian leaders slip into a worldly vision of leadership. Let me tell you, in some cases, in some churches, some pastors actually create and hire a cadre of bodyguards to protect them, not simply from their adversaries, but from their parishioners, lest they get too close and touch them. And their parishioners treat them as though they were kings. Well, here's the good news. We're far too small and far too poor to hire bodyguards. We can't afford them. And that's probably a good thing, lest we get all puffed up and full of ourselves. The Bible says something about not thinking too highly of ourselves than we ought to. No, we're all servants of the servants of God. So, Father, serve your people. And finally, the third word, honor the Lord. Matthew 25:23, Jesus replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Now, I understand completely that it's very natural and, I think, admirable for a man to desire to be a success. I mean, who amongst us wants to be a failure? Anybody want to step up? No, of course not. But unfortunately, the temptation for us as Christians, but particularly as clergy, is to confuse success in the world with success in the kingdom. More members, more success. More money, more success. More ministries, more success. If you don't believe me, read Charisma magazine. Because I promise you, Father Scott will not be their lead article. In the September edition. Why not? Little money, little ministries, little members. Okay? But in truth, I hope you know just from this passage in the scripture that though money's members and ministries are wonderful things, would that God would give us all more of them. Success in the kingdom is ultimately a matter of faithfulness. Jesus didn't say, "Well done, successful person." He said, "Well done, my faithful servant." Faithfully serving God in whatever manner and to whatever measure to which he's called us. Suchwise, and when all is said and done, he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." So, Father, my word to you tonight is honor the Lord, serve the people, proclaim the truth. Amen. As we get ready to install him, I want you to hear the word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians 3:10. It says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it." That's how it works. "But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work." That's rather humbling for a pastor. Because in the end, we know that we're all but laborers in an enterprise we call the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, God and only God himself is the master builder. And he's building a kingdom that cannot be shaken and will never pass away. So the good news is our laborers in this kingdom have an eternal quality about them, if they pass the test of the master. So it's a sobering reminder that we need to stay engaged with his holy work. And I want you to know that what Father Looker's taking on to himself tonight is not simply a job. It's a ministry. It's not just a profession. It's a vocation. It's not just a position, it's a calling. And in a moment, it's our honor on behalf of the church to raise him up as the new rector of the Church of the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and declare our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.